Good morning. It's great to be with you today. And Mark asked me to do something Christmassy in the message today. And we're only a week and a half out from Christmas, as Ian mentioned. So we're going to have a look at Luke chapter 2. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we will read from verse 1 through to 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look to your word today, this wonderful Christmas message, we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be filled with great joy. Lord, if we've come and we're seeking you, if we're seeking the truth, if we've come asking about this person, Jesus, who is he? We pray that today you will give us understanding as to who Jesus really is. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this message is so wonderful, so amazing, and our hearts are filled with appreciation, and we give you all the praise and the honour. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was growing up, from you know, little tot up into my teens, we always had every Christmas time a Christmas tree, And one of the big things of it, that under the tree we had a nativity scene. So it was a stable, and of course in it we had Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus, and there were shepherds, and there were the three wise men with their gifts, and there were sheep, and I think a couple of cows, and so on. And my mother always used to make sure that at the top of the stable she would have one of the Christmas lights, and so there would be this golden yellow glow in the stable. And I remember even as a child that I used to love at night to sit in the room by myself, turn off the lights, and just sit and look at that nativity scene and ponder over what the first Christmas would have been like. Now, I think I had a really idealistic view of it. And you've all seen too the Christmas cards that have been around, and they have a nativity scene, and everything in it is just so perfect. So I imagine, you know, this deep, dark blue sky, the evening sky. And I always used to imagine it would be mild to warm. And almost in my mind, like there would be some sort of soft glow in the air. And then there would be the shepherds, of course. I picture them coming and the wise men, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, the wise men coming and bringing their wonderful gifts. And, you know, in some of the Christmas cards or the children's picture books, it's so perfect, the scene that they even have the lamb smiling and the cows are smiling, you know, and the chooks just so contented and happy because, of course, the baby Jesus is born. Well, that was sort of me and my imagining of how wonderful this first Christmas was. But, of course, we know that the first Christmas was not quite so idealistic. It was not quite so perfect. Joseph and Mary had to make their way back to Joseph's ancestral birthplace, which is Bethlehem, for the census, which was ordered by the Roman government. Now, Mary, heavily pregnant, had to travel at least 3 days with Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And the Bible doesn't tell us how they did that, but we know they didn't hop into their SUV and drive. It was either they walked, or as tradition often says, that Mary was on a donkey. But however it happened, it would have been quite an arduous feat to go those 3 days for Mary. And of course, we know that when they arrive in Bethlehem and Mary's ready to give birth, that there was no room in the inn, the Bible says. There was no guest room available for them. And so we're told that Jesus, when he was born, was placed in a manger. And a manger is a food trough where the food would be put in the stable for the animals to come and eat. And from that, we deduce that Jesus, because there was no room in the inn, there was no guest room anywhere, that Jesus was born in a stable where the animals were kept at night. It was a humble beginning for the baby Jesus. And then we go on, and Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 tells us, and this is contrary to popular tradition, that the Magi, or what we call the wise men, and we don't know whether there were three or not, we just think that because of the three gifts, but the Magi did not visit Jesus in the manger on the night of his birth, as did the shepherds. It says in Matthew chapter 2, and this would be some months later, and maybe even up to 2 years later, that they came and visited Jesus as a child in his house. Now, when I found that out, I was shattered. I was so upset that I thought, no, the Bible must be wrong. And I had to come to grips with it. And if you have had that beautiful picture of the wise men coming as well to, you know, the stable and all that, I'm very sorry if I've upset you today. But anyway, that's the truth of it. Nonetheless, it was still amazing that these magi came and they brought their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they came and they worshipped this little child, Jesus. That's absolutely amazing. But then it came to a bad end, because all the boys under two in Bethlehem were put to death by Herod. So even though I had thought it was all perfect, you know, my childhood imaginings, and even though it looks perfect on all the Christmas cards, the birth of Jesus was far from perfect in what was happening. And not only were the difficulties surrounding Jesus' actual birth, but the times were hard for the people. Over the 400 what we call silent years between the Old and New Testament, they were silent. There was no prophet for 400 years. The Jewish people acknowledged, and they acknowledged back at that time, there was no prophet. No one was speaking for God. No one was coming with a message from God. None of the Old Testament was written in that time. So the 400 years from the Old to the New Testament. And in that time, the religious leaders corrupted the temple worship. And we know that Jesus got so upset when he went into the temple and he saw the money-making and the corruption that was going on. And the religious leaders also added to the law religious burdens on the Jewish people, on the Israelite people. And it wasn't a religion that would set them free. It was about rules, not heart. On top of that, the people were living under Roman rule. Their country was occupied. It was being governed by a foreign power. And the people paid taxes, and they were often ripped off by unscrupulous tax collectors who were taking far more than they should. So in reality, there were difficult times for the people, and also it was a difficult circumstance surrounding the birth of Jesus. But it is into circumstances that were far from ideal that Jesus came. Isaiah acknowledges this in prophesying about this time. In verse 2, and we read it this morning, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Isaiah acknowledges the darkness of the land. He acknowledges that not everything was okay. In fact, there was a whole lot going on that was really, really bad. Jesus came to shine light into the darkness. He came with good news. And Jesus comes to us today into circumstances that are far from ideal. Indeed, we might say that we are living in darkness. I think as we listen to the news, as we see what's going on, whether it's local news, whether it's international news, it seems like we are living in darkness. We just hear constantly the wars that are going on and the people who are being injured and are being killed and displaced and just the incredible, terrible hardship that's happening. We know only too well, and probably even we know of it personally, relationships that are in trouble, marriages that are in trouble, families that are breaking down. Many people are battling with illness. Many people are struggling with mental illness, mental health issues. There are financial pressures. We know that many people are struggling to find a home just to rent. And then people who are trying to buy a home, there's incredible pressure on that area. And then, of course, we know that there is so much spiritual darkness and there is so much sin, and that so many of the population are just so far away from God. But the good news of Christmas is that Jesus today shines light into the darkness. He brings good news. And we're going to have a look at that good news, the good news of this first Christmas and how it applies to us. So let's just have a look at a few of these verses again out of Luke chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." I just wanted to read that again for us, because here we have this incredible scene of the angel appearing to the shepherds, bringing good news of the birth of the Saviour, the anointed one of God, Jesus Christ the Lord. And it says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. And what an amazing occurrence, what an amazing happening that must have been, as the shepherds were out there in the dark of night. And all of a sudden this angel appeared and the glory of God shone. And to start with, they were filled with fear. But the angel said, "Don't fear, because I'm coming with good news." And then a great company of the heavenly host appeared. You know, not just 5 or 10 or 20 angels, but a great company, a great multitude appeared, and they were praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." And here we have the good news of Christmas, that we can find favour with God through his Son, Jesus. Jesus came into a world that was in darkness, yet in the midst of human failing and human suffering, he brought the means of forgiveness and peace with God. And that is why Jesus says these very important words, and we find them in Matthew chapter 11. He says, "Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What Jesus is saying to us here today: if anyone here is emotionally and spiritually weary because you're trying to do life on your own, come to Jesus and he will give you rest. If you've come here today and the burden of life is upon you, if the guilt of sin is upon you, if you feel directionless in life, if you're wondering what it's all about, if you're trying to do life on your own and you're weary and burdened, then come to Jesus and he will give you rest. Now, this Christmas time, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, for some of us here, it will be a wonderful day. We'll come to church in the morning, go home, the family will assemble, and it will just be a really, really lovely time. But the reality is that for some people, Christmas is not going to be that ideal or that happy. Some people on Christmas Day will be lonely. Some people will be grieving. Some people will be battling illness. Some people will be struggling with relationship problems. Some people will be battling with financial hardship, and it goes on and on. So for some people, Christmas Day will not necessarily be ideal. And we know that for some people, Christmas Day can actually be a really hard day, a really challenging day to get through. But whatever our situation, whatever the battle, whatever the struggle, we can know this. At Christmas, we have the greatest gift of all. We have the good news of Jesus. He is Lord and Saviour. He is our good news. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read this: "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." God shines the light of Jesus into our heart. And this is something that we take a hold of personally by faith, and we apply it to ourselves. We come to the Lord by faith. But faith is more than just knowing about Jesus. It's more than just hearing about the Christmas message and thinking, oh, that's a nice story. We take a hold of it personally because God is shining the light of Jesus into our heart. When the angels appeared to those shepherds out in the fields, let us read that and take a hold of that personally as if it was actually us there in the fields and the angels were coming delivering that good news to us. Jesus brings us into relationship with God. When we go for a walk in the evening, God is there with us and we can talk with him in the twilight. When we lie down in the loneliness of the night, pondering a difficult day, we can talk with God. When we rise in the morning, wondering how we will cope with the problems of the day, we know from the Bible, from Hebrews 13, that God promises he will never leave us or forsake us, so we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." Jesus brings us into a personal relationship with God. And I've spoken about some of the hardships that we can go through in life. And I'm not saying all of life is hard. There are many wonderful times. There are many easy things that happen, many delightful things.
that happened. But even in the midst of the darkness, Jesus shines his light into our heart and brings us into relationship with God. And if you're walking in darkness, it's way better to walk in darkness with Jesus shining into your heart than just walking in darkness and more darkness and more darkness. Because without Jesus, that's what it is. It's just darkness. There is nothing else. But as well as having God himself, God comes with a host of blessings. Now, we know that the world is going to be full of telling, you know, children that Santa Claus, you know, is coming with a sack of toys to put toys under the Christmas tree. But you know what I found in my experience as a parent? You know, in the lead up to Christmas, there's all these favourite sort of toys, you know, that children just have to have. And we've been through that with our children. You know, you just have to have the toy of the year or whatever. But we found that sometimes when the toy comes on Christmas Day, it's unwrapped, it's played with for a little while, and then it's put on the shelf and is barely ever looked at again. Because those toys, you know, they might be wonderful, but really, they're not really that great after all. But God at Christmas time brings us blessings that last forever and ever. They are eternal blessings, and they are blessings that don't just get put up on the shelf. They actually become a part of our life and a part of our future. One of the blessings that God brings us is joy. And we read it here in this passage. Good news of great joy. And we have, through Christ, spiritual joy. And joy is different. Spiritual joy is different than just circumstantial happiness. It's more than just, you know, how many presents are under the Christmas tree or how big our Christmas turkey is. You know, the world goes on the happiness of circumstances, but spiritual joy goes far beyond the circumstances because spiritual joy is there even in the darkness that sometimes happens in life. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we're told that in all things, in the light and in the darkness, in the hard and in the easy, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So even when we're battling, even some of the hardest things that happen in life, there is still a joy in our life that is there because salvation is in our life. We have a relationship with God. We know what our eternity is about. And I have been through times, and I'm sure you have been through times, when maybe we're suffering grief, maybe we've heard just shocking news, and life just seems like it's absolutely terrible, and how are we going to make it through? And yet, even in those times, deep down, there is this joy there. There is this, it's like a lifeline in our life. So we're battling through things and we might be feeling utterly miserable, but deep down, there's this knowledge that God is there. And he's working even in this terrible situation for our good. And that God will never leave us or forsake us. It's this incredible joy that we have. And friends, if the joy of the Lord is there in our life all the time, and it helps us through the dark times, it actually changes us or outworks in our life as cheerfulness. We actually have a disposition where when we're getting around in life, when we're talking to people, there is an evident joy there in our life because we are just joyful because we have the Lord. We know Jesus. We know God. It's a very special gift. Also, God gives us assurance of forgiveness and eternity with Him. God tells us that we are righteous. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, God made Him, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This amazing blessing that God took our sin and it was put on Jesus and He became sin for us. And He took the punishment for our sin upon Himself. And then the righteousness of Jesus was credited to us. What an incredible exchange that God took our sin and gave us His righteousness. That is a gift that doesn't get put on the shelf. That is a gift that we take with us every day of our life and right into eternity. Many years ago, I had to go to an appointment in Melbourne, and it was an important appointment, and it was in the years before we had mobile phones. Can you believe that? Some of you be saying, I can't imagine life without these, you know, the younger ones. But yes, going back a few decades, we didn't have these, and I was driving around Melbourne using a Melways, and some people would remember that. It's this huge book of maps, right, you know, that take you right through Melbourne. And I was using one of them, and I got to an intersection out in the east of Melbourne, and I was able to pull up, thankfully, because I realised when I got to this major intersection, I had absolutely no idea which way I was meant to go. Was I meant to go straight ahead, turn right, turn left? Had I even come in the right direction anyway? And I rarely have this happen, but I sat there in the car and I just thought, I don't know where north is or south or east or west. I have got no idea. I was looking around and just thinking, I am totally and utterly lost. And I'm looking at the Melways, but I'm thinking, yeah, but I just don't know, like, I don't know. I've got no idea. And I was late for the meeting, and I felt absolutely terrible. It was just this, almost like this desolate feeling. And thankfully, I was able to pray. And in the end, I thought, I think I've got to go that way. And it turned out to be right. And I think God did help me. But friends, it was a horrible feeling to just be there lost. And I mean, it wasn't life or death, but it felt like it to me because I was late for this meeting. And it felt like, you know, life and death. Death had just come upon me. That's what it felt like. Friends, it's a horrible feeling in life to be lost. To not know what life is about. To wonder what the future holds. But the one thing, well, there are many things, of course, but another thing that God gives us is eternal direction. In Jesus Christ, we know where we are going. And friends, I know. Personally, I'm speaking about me personally. I know that I know that I am forgiven. And I know that I will be with God for eternity. How can I know that? How can I have that absolute assurance? It's because not of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done for me. And I've talked to people and some people say, but you can't have that assurance. Surely you can't know, like really know, that you're going to be with God. Well, the Bible expects us to. The Bible says that we can know. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 13, the Apostle John says, and this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And then John says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you've come in here today and you're lost, and you haven't got the direction, you don't really know what life's about, you don't really know what happens after we die and leave this world, you can know. You can know. The Bible says that you can know. Not wonder, not question, not doubt, not think, not theorize. The Bible says that you can know. We can all know because God shines the light of Jesus into our heart, into your heart. But what we have to do is receive it personally. Receive the message of the angel and the multitude of angels bringing the good news of Jesus, that through Jesus we can find favour with God. Let us take the Christmas message personally into our heart and come into this assurance and wonder of a relationship with God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you and praise you so much. The Christmas message is amazing. It fills us with joy. And Lord, we pray that you would touch the life of each person here today. Oh Lord, where there's doubt, please bring clarity. Where there are questions, please bring answers. Lord, may we all come to know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. May we all receive the light of Jesus shining into our heart. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And I believe we're going to sing a song now.